We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Zayin, the sixth chapter, the tenth halacha, and we're in the footnote. And the Chafetz Chaim had said that there's the prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara, and even though we don't accept it as a truth when someone tells us something, we have to at least be concerned there might be some truth to what they've said. And so that even though we will treat the person as a Adam Kasher, we will still assume the person is a kosher person. And whatever benefits we would have given him otherwise, we're still going to give him. There's no reason he should be less in our eyes, because we're not supposed to believe slander, Lashon Hara. Nonetheless, we have to take whatever precautions are necessary in the event that what we were told is true. So that's a very tough balance. On the one hand, I don't believe it as being factually true. On the other hand, I recognize that there's the potential that it's true, and I take the precautions. And now in the footnote, the Chafetz Chaim adds, Velo mi bai, and not only heichad dibelav alishnabishna ukeshar nashim Yisrael, not only a person who, had it not been for the slander you heard, he's like everyone else. Before you heard that slander, you thought he was like every other Jew. So not only under those circumstances are these the rules, Ela afilu im belav achi gam ken itchazek ba'ir le'adam rasha. But even in a circumstance where, without this piece of information, everyone in town views him as a wicked person. We're in the footnote, the second line, the middle of the line. Al yedei ma'asav ha'raim, because he's done inappropriate things. And so because of that, his reputation in the city is that he's a Rasha. But it could be that even though he's done certain things wrong, but that doesn't completely remove him from the crowd. He's still a part of Klal Yisrael. Kigon, for example, we have rules. It says there are many mitzvot that revolve around courtesies that you owe your fellow man. And those mitzvot will sometimes say, achicha, your brother. Do this courtesy unto your brother. And there Chazal will often tell us that achicha b'oseh ma'aseh achicha, that the mitzvah is relevant to someone who behaves like a brother. But if he goes and he rats on the whole community to the king and tries to get people in trouble, so then there can be actions that make him severed from that title of achicha. That can happen. That can be the case. So this is relevant in many mitzvot. There was once a guy whose father disowned him. He must have done a terrible act because he was all of 2 days old. But his father disowned him. So his father left and didn't do anything for the kid. And when the kid is 35, 40 years old, he suddenly hears his father died. So now the question is, does he have to sit shiva for the father? He never knew the man. The guy had nothing to do with him. 2 days after he was born, the guy left the house and was never heard from again. So the first thing we have to verify is that this is factually true. Because sometimes the father's been searching after his son and he never found him because the mother did such a good job hiding the kid from the man. So that you can't assume the story is true. I'm saying the first thing the kid has to do is verify the truth of the story. Sometimes the father didn't even know the child was around. The mother could tell him, you know, I miscarried, or he might even not even know she's pregnant. There have been stories. So before we throw the book at the man, we have to know factually that the man really knew he had a child and it had nothing to do with him. But if that is the case, so then that's considered a very evil thing to do, for a person to have nothing to do with their child. And that child does not have to sit shiva. He doesn't have to mourn over the loss of his father. His father has, unfortunately, proven himself to be a person that's an inappropriate person. He's not behaving the way a Jew is supposed to behave. That's an example of a person who is not achicha, where the Torah says you have to honor your father. And we said in many of the courtesies of the Torah, many of the mitzvot, many of the commandments that are actually courtesies that the Torah commands us to afford our fellow man, in many instances the Torah uses the term achicha, or amecha, within your nation. And that defines that they have to have a certain modicum of decency. And the halacha defines that for us. Another example of that says the Chafetz Chaim, kigon nashiv lo aveda. You found a person's lost object. So I remember many years ago, this goes back to the Oslo Accords, and I was with a friend of mine on the day of his wedding. And it was the morning of his wedding, and one of the guests came in, and he said, "I might be a little late to the wedding. I have to go and try and help the Arabs get more out of the Jews." So the Chatan says, "You're doing what?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to go and help the Arabs now." And then he says to the Chatan, "Could you help me? I have a problem with my computer." So I said to him, "You know, my friend's a Chatan today. Maybe he shouldn't be bothered with your computer on his wedding day." He said, "No, I'm sure he'll be able to fix it in no time." I said, "Yeah, in no time with computers can go from 5 minutes to a half hour in no time. So today's his wedding day. Let's leave him alone and you go do whatever you have to do and let him enjoy his wedding day." And the guy says, no, and he starts pressuring the Chatan, and the Chatan was a sweetie, so he sat down with the guy's computer, and 5 minutes really became 25 minutes, and he walked away smiling. So I'm accompanying him, he's going to take a shower before the wedding, and he says to me, "I got him one more mitzvah before my wedding." I said, "Really, what'd you do? You helped that guy?" So he said, "You kidding? I set up his computer, he's never going to do anything with that computer." So, he decided that when a person is trying to help people who are going to who are attempting to hurt the Jewish people, then there's no mitzvah to return their lost object. But he took it a step further. I'm not discussing whether that was permitted or not, but there is such a concept that a person can take steps where the halacha says they don't get the common courtesy, even if you find their lost object. Well, don't return him his computer. Who knows what he's going to do with it, right? Uchedei. Not exactly. I mean, this is a Jew. This was a Jewish person. When we give out charity, so we give Jews and we give non-Jews. But what about a Jew who's doing things against the Jewish people? A Jew who has blatantly gone out against the ways of the Torah. So then we do not have a mitzvah to give him charity, to give him tzedakah, or lifdoto, or to go around collecting money to buy a person back if he was captured by bandits. So why is that my issue if he is turned against the way of our people? If we hear about a person, we're on page Kuf Lamed Chet, the second line in the footnote. If we hear about a person that he's completely left the people, for example, he sits down at a restaurant and he can just as easily have kosher food and he chooses the non-kosher food. He's sitting down and they tell him, "We have French fries that were cooked in kosher oil and non-kosher oil." And he says, "Give me the non-kosher." So that's called shavi ketera. He leaves what's permissible, v'achili sura, and he takes the things that are prohibited. So that's a person where we say he's going against our way. I don't have to show him the courtesies of the Torah. He's going against the way of the Torah. Kivan shelo nitbarer divrem bebetin rak shamru anashim der sipur be'alma en lekabel divrehem le'emet. The Chafetz Chaim says, well, you have a problem here. Let's say you heard that this guy does that. How do you know it's true? Because people are slandering him. How do you know you're supposed to believe that slander? So the Chafetz Chaim says, if you want to be lenient and not give him back a lost object, not help him out with charity, you have to know if it's true. And if all you have is a person who slandered him, one person who said it over, you don't know if it's true. So let's say a guy gets captured by ISIS, and you say, why should I work on getting him free? This is the way this guy behaved. He has nothing to do with me. Well, are you sure? How do you know? You heard it from one person? Well, that's called Lashon Hara. That's called Lashon Hara, where on the one hand, I would be concerned. I wouldn't eat meat that he offered me because I don't know if I can trust him on that. But on the other hand, for me to be so lenient and say, now I won't redeem him, I won't go all out to buy him back or whatever I need to do to help him, you don't have valid proof that this is the type of person he is. So the Chafetz Chaim says, in these areas, a person shouldn't say, I heard it, I believe it, I know it. You don't. You heard it from one person. From one person doesn't constitute valid proof. Only in as much as I'll be concerned and careful that I don't get harmed from it. But if I want to take the next step and say, I don't have to help him, I don't have to give him charity, etc., that says the Chafetz Chaim, you're not allowed to do. You don't have valid proof. that this is really the case.